You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great.
Yeah.
Doing good, man. Got me a big old cup of tea and, man, one of my closest friends and sitting here in this posh, you know, downtown Houston looking. I don't know. We've kind of decided this place we're staying in has mixed vibes, like...
It's like, hardcore divorced dad energy.
Yeah, like, I think you're right. I think you're right. It's like, oh, it looks cool, but like, well, I don't know. It's just hard to describe.
Well, you poke around. This is always the case. You go to Airbnb, you poke around a little bit, you see what you see. And like, for example, this morning I found two waffle makers.
Right.
There were two waffle makers.
Right.
There was a round one and a square one because clearly his kids like square, his girlfriend's kids like round.
And
that just made sense to us.
It was so funny.
It tracked with everything.
Yeah, it just, you know, it's interesting. But I tell you, the location and the setup, totally, it couldn't be better. It's awesome. We are overlooking, beautiful downtown Houston. And it is just, it's been a real treat. So real comfortable.
Yeah.
It's super.
Yeah, man. Yeah, look, this is, it's awesome being here in Houston, especially with you, especially, you know, since I live here and you used to live here. I feel like the past and the present are coming together in a really, really amazing way and creating some great episodes. Hey, man, you know, do you have any plans for October?
I was thinking about maybe getting up something, but I don't know. Do you have any ideas?
Yeah. How about the Las Vegas Vibe Show?
Ow!
Let's go meet up, man. How about we vibe Las Vegas?
Let's go to Las Vegas. Woo! Let's do a pipe show. Let's do some live podcasting and let's meet some of our best friends.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
October 21st to the 23rd. If you hadn't heard, we're going to be there. That's the Las Vegas Pipe Show. This is not a show you're going to want to miss. In many respects, this is I see this from everything that I've heard from the people that I know behind this. This is a pipe show for a new era of pipe smokers. That's not to say that not everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome. But like, you're going to have some amazing carvers. You're going to have some amazing pipe tobacco, but you're also going to have some amazing members of the pipe community, online YouTubers, podcasters.
Yeah. Instagram folks. It's going to be impressive.
We're going to be there. We're actually going to be performing Country Squire Radio Live. You're not going to want to miss it at 5 PM that Saturday. So make your plans, come out to Las Vegas Saturday and Sunday, October 21st to the 23rd. Don't just come for us. I know we like have in the past been like, Yeah, just come for us. Like, look, let's be real. Let's be real. The show is fantastic.
It's going to be an awesome show.
We're just one of many sprinkles that is going to already make this show incredible. So y'all check it out. We got the details in the show notes for this episode. You're going to want to go ahead and get your tickets, get your rooms booked, and come out and hang out with us. It'll be one that you will not regret, I guarantee.
Agreed.
Which you can't always promise when you're going to Vegas.
No, that's true. There's a lot of regrets to be had in Vegas, but you can regret things that you do while you're there, but it won't be related to this pipe.
That's exactly right. Yeah, we hope.
God willing.
Yeah, I mean, Brian Levine is in charge, so
he is. So it could be a total disaster. But anyway,
it's gonna be great, man. It's gonna be great, dude. I want to share something with you before we get started. So can I just like be real with you about something?
Yeah, dude.
All right,
it's just you and me.
All right, cool. So, you know, over the years, I have tried like so many different things. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when I started this company with Podastery and everything, I remember like pitching ideas to different friends and to you as well, just trying to come up with names of it and everything else. And, you know, and then like, you know, the first show that Podastery ever did was a show called Hymnology. I don't know if you remember that.
I think I do remember that actually.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. Yeah.
It maybe lasted 30 episodes and it ended up getting purchased. That show got purchased by...
Did it really?
Yeah. Like RTS Jackson ended up buying the show.
Wow. How about that?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Not exactly for gangbusters, but they bought it.
Yeah, sure. Sure. That's great.
And then like, but other than that, like in terms of like, what is the longest running show that I've done, it's been Country Squire Radio. And so the great thing is throughout the course of this series, I feel like people have heard me talk about, like, you know, we tried to launch this company Satchel, which was great for the time. And
yeah, sure.
I always think about listeners who go back and like listen to old episodes and hear me like talking about Satchel and everything else.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, like, oh, he's not talking about Satchel anymore. I was like, oh, the company failed, but it was fun, you know. And it was a good learning experience. We tried to do
some
things,
yeah,
and you know, it just didn't make it. Then, you know, last couple of years I was talking about this play that we were working on, and we had this great director and we had this awesome cast, and we're trying to make it work here in Houston, and then that didn't pan out.
Derailed. Yeah.
Yeah. And so like this, I always have this anxiety whenever there's like a new project coming up,
mm,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I mean, like, I know I'm highlighting failures at the moment, but the reality is like, no, there's actually been some pretty big wins. Like we did this, like we had several podcasts that we've sold over the year. Pokemon Go podcast. That was a
oh,
big one.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Back in the day that we sold. And that was really, really awesome. The Red Flag podcast, which was very Mississippi centric, and you know, it's not like it made any money, but you know, I feel like it was a nice straw.
Yeah, but you felt like it was, you know, a statement piece.
No, we were
way.
Proud of the work that we did with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, of course.
And
yeah.
It was really, you know, I think looking back on it, you know, I've got nothing but happy feelings there. But,
yeah, sure.
But, you know, so like we've got, it's always anxiety inducing though, because like you don't really think about the wins. You always think about the failures, and like even like putting out there like, hey, I'm working on something, seems like, oh, okay, here we go again.
Oh, here's the next thing.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Well, I, you know, you can feel that way, but the good thing is your friends don't.
Oh, I appreciate. You don't know how much that just like hit me in like a good way, man. I really appreciate.
Man, I'm glad. I'm glad because it's true.
Yeah.
You know, it's really true. We get to we're always so eager to see the red lights and slow to see the green lights.
Yeah.
You know?
No, this is very true.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I do want to share because I'm gonna be, you know, as we get closer to it, there's gonna be a lot more to share about it. But I've been working on this audio drama.
Yeah.
As you and I sit here, the pilot script is in production. The treatment is completed out for three seasons. These are characters I've been working on for years and a story that I've been working on for years. And I'm excited about it, but I'm also extremely nervous about it. And I feel like, you know, it's kind of one of those things. Like I realize it's at the point now where I need to start talking about it. I need to start letting people know about it. You know, there'll be a big campaign and we'll share more information as we get closer. And that sort of thing, but yeah, I just, you know, I don't want to put it out there, man. It's a little anxiety inducing.
Yeah.
And I you know.
Well, it's something that we're, you know, we'll be excited to, I don't know, follow it with you and see where it goes and pull the thread and just see where it leads, man.
It's interesting trying to write like pipe smoking into an audio drama. I will say
right,
that. But like one of the things that you have to kind of capture is like the sounds of things, right?
Yeah,
like the sounds
seriously.
Of like tapping the pipe and
yeah,
and
matches being struck and that
exactly.
kind of thing. Yeah,
exactly. Because you want to like try to kind of paint an image, and that's the thing, man. We got a lot of pipe smokers in this.
We do.
This,
yeah.
In this,
oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so. We look forward to seeing where it goes, man. You never know.
Yeah, man.
But it's you know, you've had a lot of success in your ventures, and so let's focus on those.
Yeah, that's exactly right, man. Well, anyway, all right, like I said, I want to kind of put that out there
as we
dive in, because man, we are about to get like totally tobacco topic.
Ooh, tobacco centric.
That's right. I was gonna say centric. I was like, what's another T word that means centric? And I couldn't. Yeah, we're hitting the mark, hitting the. Anyway, it's a tobacco talk.
It's a tobacco talk, man. Of course, we've been doing this now for years, and love the opportunity to, you know, get together and talk about what's at the core of our hobby and, you know, our industry and our love, and that is, of course, the tobacco itself. Yeah, it's great. We got a couple of good ones today.
Yeah, man. Okay, so. That, you know, this is wonderful because, you know, back in the day, you know, you would come into, or I would come into the shop and you would have like all of these different tin tobaccos and bags
yeah,
and everything
yeah.
else and, you know, your own custom blends and everything. We had no idea this show was going to run for 10 years, you know what I mean? Like, but like, you know, because back in the day it was like, oh, here's a tin of tobacco, here's something from the Country Squire.
Right.
And, like, we'll kind of pair them up. And then like, wow, we kind of kept on going and going and going. And so like throughout the course of this is like, man, is there going to be enough pipe tobacco to keep us going?
Eventually there is, right? But you know, we have to keep digging occasionally for things. We're like, what, have we done this one yet? And we have to dig back into the archives from like, you know, 2015, make sure we didn't, you know, not double dipping or something.
Yeah, yeah. God knows we've done that before.
We have.
So. But I'm looking right now at two tins, and I think, I'm pretty sure, and I mean, I'm seeing one at an angle, so I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure I don't recognize these.
I think these are going to be stuff that you're probably not familiar with. Neither of these are super popular, I guess. They're not, you know, really ones that folks come in the shop seeking out, or, you know, they don't sell off the shelves real fast. But they're two good, solid tobaccos that I've personally been enjoying recently. Yeah, I just thought we'd explore a little bit and give folks an insight, too. These are a couple tobaccos that maybe you've seen here and there and wondered about, but then gone to another old favorite or something. You know, there's just so many tobaccos on the market, it's hard to smoke them all. And
yeah.
So, you know, part of the beauty of Country Squire Radio Tobacco Talks is you let me smoke them, and then we talk about them for it. And then you can decide if you want to go try them or not.
Right.
So, yeah, I got a couple good ones today. I'm excited about this. The first one, it's in a kind of a, you know, I'm so bad about calling these biscuit style tins, you know.
No, but I think that conjures the right image. For
I,
sure.
I just, you know, it's you know, the it, actually, this is a Sutliff tin because it's made by Sutliff, although it's not a Sutliff brand. And this is called Distinguished Gentleman, and it's from E. Hoffman Company.
You can't, I know Distinguished Gentleman, the pipe tobacco, but I swear to you, I have never seen a tin of it in my life.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Wow.
There you go.
Okay.
Distinguished Gentleman, these are actually E. Hoffman Company. So you're like, oh, that's interesting. E. Hoffman Company. It says Chicago, Illinois, trademark and all that. These are Ewan Reese's tobaccos.
Yeah.
So these are Ewan Reese's branded tobaccos, I guess, or their proprietary tobaccos or whatever. And so the story behind the brand name, E. Hoffman, I forget the gentleman's first name, but Mr. Hoffman was the actual founder of the Ewan Reese smoke shop. And then he was joined, if I'm understanding this right, I think this is correct, he was joined at a later date. It's Edward Hoffman. He was joined at a later date by Ivan Reese. And then eventually the name switched over to Reese. And
okay.
So, yeah. And so it's interesting. So, but E. Hoffman, that was the original name of the founder of Ewan Reese there in Chicago.
So the name of the shop then was Hoffman?
You know, I'm not sure if it was Edward Hoffman and Company, or if it was, you know, Hoffman, or I don't know. But
it would be very prophetic if you named it Reese and then it just ended up.
And then, right.
Like, I named this for you. Oh, cool. Yeah, is it mine? No, it's mine.
But my understanding is it was actually the E. Hoffman Company, and then it eventually became Ewan Reese. So in 1857, all the way back then.
Wow.
So anyway, they over the years, obviously very storied, you know, pipe shop, one of the most famous tobacconists in America. Everyone always takes a pilgrimage there when they're going to Chicago and they're enjoying a good time up there. It's just a kind of a pilgrimage you need to make, especially with the Chicago Pipe Show and all that.
Oh, yeah.
And so, but anyway.
This year was your first time going, right?
No, it was not.
Not to the Chicago Pipe Show, but when
No, I've been there a few times.
Okay,
now.
All right.
Yeah, I think I've been there three times.
I think it's listening to that conversation that you had with Quinn, because Quinn was very starry-eyed throughout all of that. And so I think like his bright-eyedness, I may have been like, you know, kind of imparting that onto you to some extent.
No, it was cool because we got to, you know, I got to take Quinn and, you know, kind of see it through his eyes that first go around. And it was really special.
Yeah, I wasn't jealous at all. Yeah, keep going.
So anyway, they have a series of tobaccos. And actually, I think they've kind of whittled it down to two. If I'm remembering right, there used to be more Hoffman tobaccos that were available. And all these have been produced by Sutliff. But the two that we have now are the Distinguished Gentleman and Spilman Mixture.
Okay.
Spilman Mixture is probably a little more sought after, a little more. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure we have done the Spilman Mixture before on a Tobacco Talk. But the Distinguished Gentleman, this is a fun tobacco. I'll tell you how I got my hands on this tobacco. So we're up there, you know, we're at Ewan Reese, and this, if you ever go to Ewan Reese and you're met by a very tall gentleman who is got a great New York accent and personality.
Age range?
And is about, probably mid-50s to 60, somewhere in there.
Yep.
And just, you know, stellar guy, and you're like, your accent doesn't match here, but like dressed to the nines, super professional, loud and bombastic.
Yeah, I met him.
And great New York accent.
Yeah.
That is Douglas. Douglas is one of the employees there at Ewan Reese. He's been there for years, and just awesome guy. We posted up there at Ewan Reese for a while when we got there for Chicago this year and had a great time hanging out. Douglas took good care of us.
Did he take y'all back to the club area?
Took us back to the club. Woo! Got to see that. That was really, really special, where you're kind of out looking over the L train.
Oh, yeah.
You know, dark, you know, wood and, you know, leather couches everywhere. It was really neat. But anyway, shout out to Douglas for this. But I love this because, you know, we bought this tin of tobacco from him, and he popped it open, sitting there enjoying it. And he's like, well, you know, just to give you a quick story, like, I am the Distinguished Gentleman.
Right.
He said, like Douglas is the distinguished gentleman.
Yeah, which is interesting because did he pose for this photo?
No, but I think that's E. Hoffman actually.
Okay, because it's probably worth making mention of this because in the actual tent itself, the logo at the very center is a distinguished gentleman.
Yeah, no,
with
that's right.
Quite the mustache that is
mustachioed
man, yeah. Curled up. He's got that receding hairline that he is hanging on to that tuft of well groomed hair on top or atop his head as the same as around a thinner gentleman with a bow tie. And you know, like I said, I have met Doug in my ventures to Chicago before.
Yeah.
And I have to say, like, when you say he is the distinguished gentleman, I look at the gentleman on the tin, and I'm thinking, what's a polite way of saying BS?
I know.
But clearly, there's a story.
No, that's right. So yeah. Anyway, Douglas was the guy that kind of this was his brainchild. Basically, it was like, well, let's take these tobaccos and marry them up and see what comes out. And they kind of tinkered with it a little bit, and then this was his blend that he enjoyed, and so he was the one that came up with the idea for distinguished gentleman. And it's so cool. It was really neat because he almost didn't share that with me, but when he did share that with me, I kind of made a big deal about it, and I got him to sign the can.
So I see that.
If you look on the side of the can, I actually had him sign the can.
And you had him sign it as the distinguished gentleman.
As the distinguished gentleman. And then, I love this, like, you know, one of his coworkers was there, I forget who it is, to be honest with you, and the whole time he was just over there rolling his eyes, like, don't give Douglas any room. I mean, come on. He's full of hot air enough, you know. Like, the last thing he needs is one more feather in his cap, you know. It was just hilarious. And, like, so here I had, you know, he got a Sharpie and signed it, and he was like, hey, look at this. He's getting me to sign this tin. I've never done this before. And I was, like, you know, thinking his poor coworkers will never hear the end of that.
This is great. This is awesome.
But it was really cool. So, distinguished gentlemen. Great tobacco. This is an aromatic tobacco that is, you know, pretty straightforward, but very flavorful. I really enjoy smoking this and have enjoyed getting to know it. It just as I've kind of worked my way through the tin. It's a Burley Cavendish Virginia mixture that they've added some Cyprian Latakia to. And so, you know, you've got just a great all-day, everyday aromatic tobacco that's been kind of spiced a little bit with this Latakia to give it some depth and some body and some warmth to it that is just really, really pleasing.
And so, it's interesting. You mentioned, like, you know, so I think a lot of, especially newer smokers, they hear aromatic, they're going to think of, like, cherry or some kind of, like, flavoring type of situation.
This, if you get any kind of flavoring in this, it's not, you know, it's more of a subtle vanilla, nougat, you know, maybe some cocoa in there. You're not going to pop that open and be like, oh, that's raspberry.
No, this, like this, I mean, just from the tin note, I haven't smoked this, although I'm thinking that I may need to.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Yeah, this is, this smells amazing. Yeah, almost kind of like a charry kind of like mesquite type of, like, if there's a tang, it's like a mesquite tang, so to speak. But not necessarily in any kind of like sweetness that I pick up on, at least from the tin anyway.
Well, this is kind of a classic American aromatic. Yeah. So it's not going to be, you know, this is going to be
pine maybe.
No, I could see that though. Cause it's got like a sweet bready consistency.
Okay.
You know, it's not going to be over the top with any one flavor, but you will get kind of that nougat, you know, maybe a little vanilla note there with some probably baking chocolate in the background, but it's very simple aromatic that has the addition of that PD Latakia that's there. And it's just very pleasant, great all day smoke. It's something that, you know, if you are looking for an aromatic, but you're not particularly an aromatic smoker, this is something that'll be interesting to you. It'll make the room smell pleasant, you know, and it burns cool. It's kind of got that chopped melange, you know, the mixture itself is pretty diverse as far as the cut of leaves. And so, you know, maybe may take a little bit.
It's a beautiful tobacco.
It's a beautiful tobacco.
Like, you just, like, you look at it and you're like, oh, what's this?
It's
like,
just very, very, very pretty. So anyway, but yeah, distinguished gentleman from E. Hoffman Company, which is actually a product from Ewan Reese.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can actually see you can get these, like, we actually now carry this at the Country Squire. And so it's distributed elsewhere, but it's one of those tobaccos that, you know, it's, that was kind of the origination of it. So really neat. It's tobacco that, you know, if you don't smoke a lot of aromatics, but want to occasionally stick your toe in the water, have something in your pack that's kind of still sweet, but also, you know, complex enough to keep it interesting and all that, I think you'll enjoy it.
You know, we kicked off our Houston episodes, like our series from Houston, with a kind of look back at like vintage tin art.
Yeah.
And like there's something about this, like the tobacco smells amazing. I look forward to smoking it. And like the just but looking strictly at like the branding, the packaging and everything else. All right, so this is my critique of it. The branding screams vintage.
Mm-hmm.
The packaging, not so much.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, sure.
And it's kind of, it almost is like, it's like, it almost like feels like a tobacco out of time from that standpoint.
It's like an old label on a new can.
Right.
That doesn't really work.
Except to say, but like not in a cool way, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That just doesn't really work. So this is one where the tobacco does the talking, but I mean, like you see that the branding, I feel like the branding matches the tobacco and the packaging is just kind of an unfortunate reality of the modern era.
Yeah.
You know, does that make sense?
Yeah. These tins are not, they don't have the romance of these old fashioned metal cans, right? So if you saw that label, that, you know, really distinguished label on a older metal tin, you know, we had our episode where we discussed some tin
exactly,
art.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, that would be very fitting, but you know, nowadays it makes sense to put tobaccos in these kind of food grade plastic and you know, cardboard cans that work like this. So
hey, I want to ask you about one other thing before we move on to the next one.
Yeah.
And that is, I noticed that around this there's this like green seal that has been obviously broken from, I'm assuming, you opening up the pipe tobacco and everything.
Yeah.
What is that? Is that unique to this particular tobacco? Do you think it's unique to the shop?
It's funny, I honestly cannot remember.
It says $8 stamp on it is what it looks like.
I don't know.
Not sure.
I can't remember where that came from.
We'll throw it out there. If y'all know what that might be in reference to or what that is, y'all, you know, especially those of y'all in Chicago.
I don't know if it's an actual tax stamp. I don't.
Because this is the one that you got from Chicago.
I did. I got it in Chicago. I can't imagine that was, but I could be wrong. Yeah. I honestly cannot remember. Yeah. Because I picked that up there. But anyway, yeah. Beautiful can, beautiful tobacco, and man, thank you, Douglas, for taking such good care of us when we were up in Chicago. That was a real
man.
Treat, and man, he's a character. If you ever get time, post up there and up at Ewan Reese and ask for Doug, and man, he'll take really good care of you.
Dude, Doug hooked me up when I mean this was years ago, he probably didn't even remember, but I came in there, me and Briar were there for something we were doing for Satchel, actually.
Oh, I remember, because Briar wound up buying a really nice Savinelli on that trip.
It was a fun trip, but going to Aaron Reese was like one of like the big highlights.
Of course,
had nothing to do with why we were there, but I mean, it's me and Briar, so of course we're gonna.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, that's
and
great.
So you know, went up there, met with Doug, and he you know gave us a tour and everything. I think they were in the process of renovating some different parts of it at the time.
Okay,
yeah, man, love that shop, and man, I. Yeah, but let's bring this to our meetup.
Okay, yeah, we should do that.
Let's do that. Let's do that. All right, so I'm seeing another very handsome tin that we have alongside it.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, now that you turn it, I recognize it a little bit more.
Yeah. So this is beautiful, and I'm excited about this one too. Although, you know, it's interesting, I probably of the two of these like the Distinguished Gentleman a little better, but
right.
I wanted to feature another aromatic that I got recently that I've been able to, you know, just kind of work my way through. This is again from a very well-known brand, a brand that's very sought after, but one of their maybe lesser sought after tobaccos in their portfolio or whatever. And so today we're talking about Rattray's Buckingham.
Buckingham.
Hey, well, you know, yeah, it's got Buckingham Palace there on the front.
It's the British royal family. Bring me the Rattray's Buckingham pipe tobacco.
Gerald? Has there ever been a Gerald that works at Buckingham
There's
Palace?
There's a Gerald working at Buckingham right now. He listens to the show.
He probably does. Man, neat story behind this actual tin as well. I'd never smoked this tobacco before. But in Chicago, for the Chicago Pipe Show, Quinn and I wanted to go to another pipe shop that's in Chicago that's becoming really a force in its own right. Awesome shop. If you ever get to Chicago, be sure to go to Ewan Reese, but also be sure to go to Arlington Pipe and Cigar.
Okay.
Arlington Pipe and Cigar, they know what they're doing. This is a cigar shop that's been purchased by a family that's got just an incredible, incredible team that works there. So obviously they've got, you know, the cigar business in spades. They've got that down. But what they've done, they've really heavily invested in their pipe business and their pipe community. Amu, that works there, has done a really good job curating their tobacco selection. You know, she's become a blender and, you know, just it does such a good job at selecting the right briars to carry there in the store. They have one of the most beautiful tinned tobacco selections you've ever seen. Like, I'm sure there are pipe stores in the United States that have more tinned tobaccos, but but not many. Yeah. And even then, it's not as beautifully curated. Like, they did such a good job with their pipe nook in their store. It's beautiful. But wow. I wanted to purchase a couple things at Arlington Pipe and Cigar while I was there. And so one of the tobaccos that, you know, I just never tried from the Rattray's portfolio was this Buckingham. And I've really enjoyed it. It's good. So I'm going to hand it to Bo.
All right. Now, this one is a much taller can. Actually, you know, I don't personally, you know, in my cellar anyway, I don't have any cans that are really like this tall.
Yeah, yeah. So when Rattray's does a, you know, they have the smaller can that's the coin style, like 1.76 ounce can.
Yeah.
But then they have the 3.5 ounce can like this.
Think about like a 2/3 the size of a soup can.
Yeah, in yeah, terms of height. It's like a Campbell's soup can kind of thing. Yeah. And so that's what you're looking at. That's just how historically they've done their larger tobacco cans. And so
am I okay to open this?
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. Go ahead.
I always like want to be careful. It's like you pop it open, like it hadn't been open in like 100 years.
No, I've been smoking it. It's been great.
Okay, now this one, you know, so in contrast to what we had before, so this one very much you pop it open, and from an aromatic standpoint, like very much kind of like a apricot, cherry. Yeah. Like, there's much more of, like, that sweetness that's, like, kind of a little bit of a punch in the face. Something that the Queen would be quite happy to put in a pipe as she's sitting in Buckingham Palace. In fact, here on the Rattray's Buckingham, you'll find that it is a gray tin with a gold band with a little bit of royal blue. Well, not royal blue. Light blue. Eggshell blue. Don't you? And of course, Buckingham Palace is right there. It is oddly centered at the top as opposed to in the center of it, which is driving me a little crazy. But clearly, it is there because the royals must have it so.
Well, I think you're probably right.
But yeah, like from a...
It's actually a beautiful tin. I do love Rattray's larger tin
size. Oh, no, yeah.
I
think the really, size of it is incredible.
Really
sure,
pretty, yeah. And it's, you know, with just the little gold piping around the edges and the blue silhouette of Buckingham Palace.
I don't hate the branding. It's just one of those things, like, it just kind of caught me off guard.
How they move that, you're right, it's not centered at all. So, you know, it's one of those things that if you're a, you know, ADHD or, you know, just need...
You know what it is? I bet it's this is probably to facilitate being able to put on a smaller tin, like, so that the imagery is. So, because if you think about, like, right there, I'm kind of holding my finger over the portion where the branding ends. It's like, well, that's about the size of, like, a I don't want to say a normal size tin, but like what more common size tin.
So maybe they would be able to use that in multiple.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like it's formatted appropriately or something of that nature. But anyway, no, I mean, like, you know, it's a very handsome tin from that standpoint.
Yeah.
And I like the texture of it, like how it has like the quilted paper around it, which also gives it a sense of, you know, specialness, sense of, you know, premium.
Elegant. You know, you're smoking a premium product.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, this retails for maybe $22, $23 for the bigger size like this. From tobaccoreviews.com, it's Buckingham combines a mixture of Black Cavendish, bright and dark Virginias, and fragrant Burley. Enjoying this blend, you will experience the true promise of hickory nut and bourbon vanilla, hitting the scent of cinnamon. It's interesting, they've got a little note on here that says this is apparently a new incarnation of Peterson's Gold Blend, the recipe which is owned by Kohlhaas. So we haven't seen Peterson's Gold in a while, so maybe, you know, if they've taken this and kind of, you know, put it in the Rattray's, you know, lineup of tobaccos and renamed it, who knows? You know, that kind of thing does happen quite a bit with different tobaccos. But it's good. It's really good. It's, you know, there again, a Black Cavendish, Virginia Burley. It's a sweet tobacco. It's not a super moist tobacco. It's not a syrupy tobacco by any means, but, you know, has a pronounced sweetness. You get a nice citrus note, certainly on the nose as you're smelling it. But as you're smoking it, it's going to be more centric, I think, towards the vanilla bourbon, and you get a little bit of hickory, but there's also kind of this cashew flavor that's really interesting. There's a tartness there that comes in a little bit from the citrus element that I think is fun. So, you know, it's not a super sweet tobacco, but it's a good sipping tobacco for all day, every day. I've actually smoked this mostly in smaller bowled pipes when I just kind of want something for, you know, a little sweet treat, pick me up kind of thing. Maybe after lunch is a, you know, kind of a, hey, sitting back down to work, let me give myself a little pat on the back before I get back hard after it, you know.
Right.
And I've really enjoyed it. So, you know, this is a tobacco that I think will, age probably a little better than the Distinguished Gentleman just because of how they cased it. It's just a little different. But
is that true of anything that has a little bit of a higher casing or a higher sugar factor?
Yeah, I think with those heavily cased tobaccos, you know, you're going to have a decreased sense of return on your efforts to try to age them. You know, like I just think you're going to get less and less benefit out of that. Because in some sense, the casing is acting as kind of a preservative, you know. Of course, they do put, you know, in a lot of these propylene glycol, which is very normal food grade product, you know, to help, you know, preserve some of these things. But you're kind of arresting the tobacco's ability to get more complex if you do that. Mm. So on a very lightly cased tobacco like this Buckingham, I think you might see, you know, a little more benefit of cellaring. But regardless, this is a tobacco that's, you know, good to be cracked open right now and smoked. You know, again, not a superlative, like if you're one of those flavor bomb people, you know, you like Cult Blood Red Moon or something like that. This is, you know, neither of these tobaccos are probably going to be the ones for you. But if you're looking for a good all-day, everyday smoke that is elegant, sophisticated, just gives you enough sweetness to kind of keep it interesting while being a nice, versatile tobacco for a lot of different situations and a lot of different types of company, you know, I think either one of these you'll be really, really happy with. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, man, excellent choices. I really love the fact that we're kind of... For one thing, I'm you know, you're still surprising me. I love it.
Like, I still got some tricks up my sleeve.
Yeah,
you know?
And I'm really excited that one of these in particular, like that, you know, some, you know, we bust them up, we talk about it and everything. Oh yeah, it's good. Oh yeah, yeah, oh that's wonderful and everything else. But then every once in a while, you bring one. I'm like,
gotta try that. Gotta try that.
Yeah, that Distinguished Gentleman, man. I got my eye on that one.
It's really tasty. Yeah, yeah. Of the two, it's probably my favorite. I've enjoyed smoking it. And, you know, just getting to know Douglas a little bit, it's kind of like, yeah. Well, I feel like I'm hanging out with my bro when I smoke it.
There is something about, like, knowing the people behind the scenes. And, you know, yeah, there's just something about knowing the people behind the scenes. When you connect with somebody like that, you already like are enjoying their product, and then you connect with them, you find out they're awesome. That just like makes it even better. Or if you connect with somebody like, this is an interesting dude, this is a cool dude, and then you like enjoy the product. Like, it's almost like you like them even more because
that's
of
how the pipe community works, though. Yeah. Like there are so many people that they make fine pipes and fine tobaccos, but you want to support them even more because you just like them as humans, you know. I think naturally that's a benefit of relationship. It makes the pipe community pretty special. Yeah, a lot of great folks in the pipe community. There's some great products out there that are, you know, well, I'll just leave it at that.
I think we both caught ourselves on this one.
Yeah, I was just gonna say there's some great humans behind some products that are good, and there's some products that are good that, you know,
they're just humans behind.
They're just humans.
Yeah,
humans
are humans.
And so and you still enjoy those, but maybe not quite as much.
Oh man.
Well, there you go.
A Spill the Tea episode of Country Squire Radio. You know, the funny thing, this is an aside before we jump into our sponsor, because we've got some great humans that make a great product that we're about to talk about. But before,
sure
before referencing that, you know, one of the great things is, like, when I've met with listeners and everything, you know, when it's completely off the record, I tell them everything. I tell them everything, John David.
The thing is, it's not that there's that much to tell.
Oh, or is there?
I don't know. Anyway, it's good stuff, though.
One of the great things is that, yes, we get to, like, this, and this is such a privilege that every single episode we get to, like, have this, like, pivot moment to talk about a great product that is made by some great people. Like, you and I, you know, we were already fans of Missouri Meerschaum before we ever met the folks behind it. But, like I remember walking away from meeting Phil and just thinking, like, that is a cool dude. Like, and not just like, oh, he's a cool dude. Like, no, like a nice guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like the kind of person you want in your corner and the kind of person you want to be in the corner of, you know, which is even like, I think even more special. But no, of course, our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum, they make some great products. They got some great people behind the scenes.
Man, I know. And I want to mention Phil's daughter, Shannon, too.
Absolutely.
Shannon has actually taken over most of the general manager responsibilities there at the company. So it's so cool. Phil's still in the background kind of, you know, helping out, doing some financial stuff.
He's doing that R&D. R&D,
which
means he's just sitting there smoking his corn cob pipe and he gets to call that research and development.
Passing it to the next generation. But it's been so cool to get to know Shannon and work with them. And it truly is becoming kind of a family business in its own right. It's really neat. But anyway, love the folks there. We always love to talk about them and their products and are honored to be talking again about their Back to Our Roots series, which is a new lineup that they've come out with to kind of honor their rich tradition of offering a really good product at a reasonable price. And so what they've done, they've picked out some of their best-selling shapes and have kind of tweaked them a little bit, installed a really attractive, handsome stem and a little nickel garnishment there on the end of the shank, and it's just very handsome. Today we're talking about the Back to Our Roots Xenon. The Xenon is their final pipe in the line of the Back to the Roots, Back to Our Roots series. It's a sturdy filtered pipe, feels good in your hand, has a maple hardwood insert, and it's an apple diplomat shape, which is really nice. But it's one of their hardwood pipes. It's the maple pipe, and so you're going to look at it. It's the only pipe in this lineup that's not actually made of cob, but it's made of the hardwood itself. And so it comes in a straight and a bent variety, and it looks really, really handsome with that, you know, deep, you know, seductively green stem. It's just very, very beautiful. So it's named in honor of the lieutenant governor of what would be the state of Missouri. The Xenon is a pipe ahead of its time. And so anyway, check it out. You can go to corncobpipe.com, and our friends at Missouri Meerschaum will pack up one of these beautiful Back to Our Roots pipes and send it right to your front door.
Special thanks to our friends at Missouri Meerschaum for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man, pipe question of the week coming in from Charles Gard. Yes, Charles writes in. Man, this comes in from Charles, who writes in, greetings, John, David, and Bo. I'm enjoying the new things that you're doing. You always keep it interesting regarding Squire Select or tobacco reviews. Not sure where the idea would fall, but I'm sure many here also enjoy cigars. All right, I think he's offering this up for a Tobacco Talk or for a Squire Select, not knowing which one this would fall on.
Okay.
But he said that he's sure that many people would also enjoy cigars.
Yeah, we've got a lot of, you know, cigar guys that that listen to the show, and pipe guys that smoke occasional cigar and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, this is true. All right, so here we go. He says, so John David, after that wonderful early Sunday dinner, you sit down with a bowl of your favorite Virginia or whatever, for example. Maybe it's a Latakia. A few hours later, you're ready for your favorite brown water and a cigar.
Mm.
You still remember that wonderful Virginia from earlier. So what cigar should you follow it with, or vice versa? Which pipe tobacco to follow that afternoon cigar? So this is interesting. He's actually kind of presenting this with, if you were to essentially pair a pipe tobacco with a cigar, what would you do? And specifically with a good quality Virginia tobacco.
Yeah, interesting. You could look at this a few ways, because pipe tobaccos and cigar leaf are very different, you know, and so when you smoke one thing, you're going to kind of leave an imprint on your palate that, you know, may not be recoverable. Yeah, I mean, really,
no, I know
though,
what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like, if I smoke a really a nice cigar and I'm really enjoying it, like, you know, and then I followed up with a pipe bowl after that.
Yeah.
Chances are I'm not going to experience that pipe tobacco, maybe, certainly not the same way I would otherwise.
Exactly.
But also, like, maybe not the way it was intended to be. You know, it's just, you're just not tasting something on a clean palate.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I don't know. I guess I tend to, if I'm ever following up a pipe bowl with a cigar, it tends to not be a cigar I'm super excited about.
You're not going to spend a lot of money on whatever that follow-up product is.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. You know, it's the real, you know, the first thing you consume that day, the first thing you smoke that day, that's going to be the one that you're really, okay, let me make sure my palate's clean. And, you know, the next one is going to be a cigar like, oh, I've smoked one of these before. Or, I'm not that worried about it. Or, you know, or maybe it's a flavored cigar, something that I don't smoke very often, but I still want to smoke something, but I'm just not as, you know, if I've got a, you know, $35 Arturo Fuente God of Fire, you know, I'm not going to smoke that after I've smoked four bowls of, there again, Cult Blood Red Moon or whatever. You
sure.
Know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you're just
you're
not going to do that. So
this is a tricky ask.
Yeah. So I don't really, honestly, don't really know how to respond other than saying, you know, one of my
Swisher Sweet.
Yeah, I know, right? Delicious. One of my, you know, favorite cigars to go with a, you know, either a good cup of coffee or a good whiskey or something, you know, full belly after a meal, is a Padron. I love a Padron 1964 in the natural wrapper, and really any of the sizes, just pick your size. They're all great. Padrones are, of course, Nicaraguan, some of the, you know, finest cigars you can find in America on the shelf. they have a soft box press that to me is very, very appealing.
Okay,
I
now
love,
you explain this to me as part of our finer things, and I know yeah. box press by name. Remind me.
Yeah,
what is
so they've actually
mean?
Taken the cigar and put them in some type of, typically when they box press them, they put them in a box. All the cigars are together inside right. this box, and then as it's pressed, it forms into a kind of a cube.
That's what shapes
shape,
it into that square.
Into squared off shapes. It's been put in a, you know, what's essentially a mold and kind of mushed into this shape. And so some are very, very hard box presses. And so they have these real defined edges, real hard creases, you know, where you can see that the, you know, it was just pressed very hard or for a very long time. Yep. Some, like the Padrones, have these soft box presses where it's just, you can tell that it's just kind of taking the form of a rectangle. But, you know, it's just a little, you know, a little softer around the edges. And so the creases on the corners aren't quite as hard and that type of thing. So Padrones kind of major in that. And they also tend to be kind of loosely rolled, and which some people drives them crazy. For me, I really enjoy it because it's just a good effortless sipping cigar. You know, I get in that mindset when I'm smoking a cigar of like, I don't want to do anything but just taste this delicious stick, you know. And right. and so when you're you know, it's different from a pipe. With a pipe, you're, you know, it's part of the experience is the tinkering with it, and that's, you know, what's fun. But with the cigar, a lot of times you just want something that's effortless, and Padrones are really good at that. I like their natural wrapper because it has plenty of spice in its own right. The Nicaraguan, you know, wrapper, but it, you know, the Maduro, it's almost, to me, almost too spicy. It's almost too powerful. I think the natural one provides plenty of, you know, strength and complexity while, you know, still being palatable. So anyway, I, you know, that would be, if I had to smoke a cigar after a, you know, Sunday dinner, that would be the one. You know, maybe after that, if I needed to smoke a pipe, I'd follow it up with something probably soft and creamy. You know, maybe not after the cigar like that. Maybe not a Virginia in that moment. Maybe one of, you know, my favorite English aromatic blend. Distinguished Gentleman actually would be a great tobacco to follow up with that. Or, you know, our own Northwest Trek at the shop, or something of that nature. So,
oh, well, there you go.
Yep,
man, Charles, great question.
You
put a challenge out there, and great job, John David. You rose to the challenge.
Yeah, I guess.
Just well done. Hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week, be sure to send it into the show. That is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
All right, man. These are coming in from Jeremy. He says, "Hey, Bo and John David, for me, there's nothing quite like finding that perfect new pipe. Whether it's the first, fourth, or 40th, I deliberate and choose each one specifically for a reason." All right. So basically, I'm going to kind of set this up. Basically, what he is about to do
yeah.
is, over the next few episodes, Jeremy has laid out a bunch of different options for us to essentially craft our perfect pipe.
Okay.
Yeah, which is interesting because, like, this has to kind of build on each other. Like, immediately you think of, like, one or the other, and I do kind of feel like, you know, in the moment you might choose one thing, but you don't know if, like, that's going to mix with what you say next. And
yeah,
that sort of
sure. Yeah. So, because it's almost like a game of telephone, or like a, you know, you're flipping these switches, but the next switch is going to depend on the switch you flip this time.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
That's right.
Okay, I'm
all
tracking.
Right. Yep. Are you ready for this?
I guess, yeah.
Okay, all right. So this is, we're going to start it this week. We're going to continue on for the next, I think, 2 weeks.
Okay.
We'll have this together. All right, first, artisan or manufactured?
Artisan. Yeah, if I had to pick one between the two, yeah, an artisan pipe.
I mean, yeah, of course, right? I mean, like, there's some great manufacturers out there that make some really quality pipes. I mean, a lot of my pipes, actually, at this point, it's probably half and half. Like, at least half my pipes are from a manufacturer versus
yeah.
an artisan pipe.
But yeah, sure.
Yeah, if you're going to choose between the two, of course, you got to go artisan.
Yeah.
Name brand or I'm feeling lucky?
You know, I'm feeling lucky.
You do that too.
Yeah,
you'll Insta shop. You'll go on Instagram and you'll yeah. spend a couple $100 on pipes that you have no business spending that kind of money.
You're correct. You are correct that my kids are at home starving, you know, and I'm surrounded by these like gold plated pipes from you know.
I think Nina just took control of my brain. Just
I know, right? Did you mind meld with her? Yeah. So, I'd have to go with I'm Feeling Lucky. I obviously have, you know, my favorite brands and my favorite artisans. But,
right.
I don't want to discriminate. I mean, yeah. Any of them could be good.
So, all right, this one's where it's going to get tricky. Smooth or rusticated / blasted?
Yeah, I'll. If it's perfect, my perfect new pipe, I'd go with smooth. Yeah.
I'm supposed to say smooth. That's what the classy, knowledgeable person does. If
no,
you're about
it's
a perfect
not.
Pipe. No, I mean, like, but no, if you've got like perfect briar, then that's what people, you know, that like, why would you rusticate it? Why would you blast it? Well, I mean, you can actually like expose some pretty amazing grain in the process of doing
that. Of course,
that.
Yeah. Some people, that's what they prefer.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with the rusticated blasted. I mean, I've got some beautifully okay. smooth pipes. Here's the other thing. Smooth pipes intimidate me.
Is it because you think you'll mess them up?
Yes.
Yeah.
This morning, when I was coming to record, I was getting, you know, bringing breakfast and everything else. I was pulling up to the curb in my brand new Mini Coupe, the Bowmobile,
The Bowmobile.
Yeah, it looked like money. I was pulling up, and I did the thing where I got a little bit too close to the curb, and I heard a scrape, and I freaked out. Now, it was just the tire, but even still, I was like, I literally, John David, I was considering getting a cloth and wiping the side of the
Oh, Bo.
Like, they should have never given me money.
What are we going to do with you? I know. I can't have nice things. I can't have nice things. That's funny.
So there is something to that where I do kind of feel like I'm going to scratch it if it's smooth. But yeah, so I go rusticated or blasted.
Okay.
Dark color finish or light color finish?
Light color. If it's exquisite grain, I want to see it. Yeah.
Same. I mean, I like a good, not too light. Like, but definitely not too dark.
Medium, maybe. Yeah.
Kind of a medium.
Well, and if you've got a sandblasted pipe, the color of the finish maybe not quite as important to you. I don't know. You could.
Well,
go
some people will like coat like a blasted pipe, and it looks like just black with all the
little gnarly bits on there. Yeah.
But then you've got those beautiful like kind of red wood, kind of coating. On a rusticated pipe
mm-hmm.
that looks like really handsome.
Well, where the stain really, goes well with the sandblast. A lot of times, if the stain is done right on the exterior of a sandblasted pipe,
mm-hmm.
not only can you see the ring grain, and when I say ring grain, I'm talking about the wavy ridges that pop up on the side of a sandblasted pipe, but you can also, at some point, if the stain is done really, really well, a lot of times you can see the straight grain as well.
Yeah,
behind.
Yeah. See,
that.
That's yes,
and that's yeah, and that's, man, that's if you really get a cool. sandblasted pipe that can somehow exhibit and show off both of those types of grain,
yeah.
That carver's made some kind of deal with the devil, I mean, because they're beautiful. They're really lovely.
They're hard to
really
find,
lovely.
Man, but that's yeah. real pretty stuff.
Yeah.
Man, Jeremy, great question. And we'll be continuing on this series for the next couple episodes. Thank you for those. Hey, if you've got quick fire questions for us, send them into the show. That is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Hey, man, listener feedback. We got some listener feedback from Alex. He's a new listener. Man, he's been sending a ton of feedback, and so it's hard to choose like one on which one to go with. But really, glad to feature this one this week. Alex writes in and says, John, David, and Bo, it's my pleasure to be part of the Country Squire Radio Pipecast as a Patreon Club Pipes member on the Pilgrim level. Been an avid pipe smoker and DJ for years. Always
cool.
loved your live videos and podcasts from 2013. Through present day, John David is a wealth of information in pipes and tobacco, and I plan on doing business with. And Bo's incredible mind and charismatic personality is something I've rarely seen before, which fits in perfectly with everything about pipe smoking. Love the smoking competitions. Anyway, best of luck, and let's keep your legend going for a long time to come. Sincerely, Alex Murzoff.
I think
that's right. Alex Murzoff, pipe smoking pilgrim from the PA area, man.
Oh, man. But Alex, thank you so much. That really kind words, man. And anytime we hear this kind of stuff, it sincerely is encouraging to us. So we're glad you've enjoyed our show and been a part of our family and supported us. And, man, here's to a long time to come.
You know, Alex references the YouTube videos, and he's not alone. A lot of folks will like find those old YouTube videos and not realize that we haven't done them in years.
Yeah.
And
then also folks, that just aren't podcast centric assumed we stopped doing the podcast because they don't see YouTube videos.
Right.
And it's like, no, we've been doing it for years now.
Well, which is part of the reason why I do occasionally jump on the YouTube channel and do a kind of live chat and everything. Be like, no, we're still doing it. Let me tell you about this.
You know, we're a podcast first. but you know, we did have fun back in the day doing putting out weekly YouTube videos and of course recording live where folks could join in. That was a fun season.
That was a special time.
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting kind of thinking about, and you know, there'll be a time for us to kind of like do some reflection over the eras of Country Squire Radio, to be sure. And it's probably not in like the last like 2 minutes of this episode, but I mean, like, it is interesting kind of thinking back, because that there's been so many different eras of Country Squire Radio, and that live YouTube era really had a unique energy to it.
It did. Because it's a lot of fun.
And there was two different times of that, because we did the morning shows and then we did the evening shows, and it was two different audiences, although some people were able to you know, make it worth both ways. But like, that was just, it was just different. And then we went into kind of like the dark ages where we were over Zoom, and now we're kind of in this like this neo-Renaissance kind of moment where we're kind of finding, you know, we found this kind of new way of creating content that like has that energy level. It's different.
Yeah.
Because it's back to back to back to back, as opposed to like on a weekly with a live audience. But it is, I don't know.
It's been fun to see evolve.
It's been a journey for sure. Anyway, all right, Alex, man, thank you so much for this feedback. Hey, if y'all have got some thoughts for the show, send them in. Head over to CountrySquireRadio.com. You can find all of our contact information there. And yeah, man, Tobacco Talk, Rat Trees, and Distinguished Gentlemen
from E. Hoffman.
Yeah. Oh, staring at it, man.
So delicious.
All right. Well, hey, let's go have a day.
See you, brother.